Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The worst night of my life hadn't started much different than a normal night. I even thought it would be a great night, relaxing at the very least. My son was spending the weekend with his grandmother, so I was along with my dog, a black Labrador named Roy.
Looking for a little Hollywood-style fun? Check out Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways, exclusively at Chumba Casino. There's 10,000 ways to play. Get spinning for free at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I had always enjoyed those moments of solitude where I could relax without worries. But since I became a mother, and the father had left us, I hardly had them anymore. I made myself a cup of tea and sat down on the sofa ready to enjoy a movie. Roy, as usual, settled down at my feet. I was starting to fall asleep, but suddenly something woke me up. A thud, as if something had hit the kitchen window, made me turn my head. It wasn't a loud sound, but it startled me. Roy pricked up his ears, alerted by the noise, and jumped up. I stood up slowly, trying to convince myself it was nothing. Maybe just the wind. But before I could calm down, Roy bolted for the kitchen, as he usually did when he heard a noise. I put on a jacket and caught up with him a few seconds later. When I got to the kitchen, I found him with his snout pressed against the back door, barking into the darkness of the garden. I approached the back door cautiously, trying to see what had provoked Roy's reaction. The garden was dark, but everything seemed in order. No sign of movement, no strange noises. Roy was still barking, so I decided to open the door to calm him down, thinking that if I let him see that there was nothing there, he would calm down. But as soon as I turned the handle, Roy shot out into the yard, running into the bushes that bordered the fence. His barking was more aggressive, as if he was ready to attack someone. I called out to him, trying to get him to come back, but he wouldn't listen. I started to get nervous. Roy was not used to reacting like that. I took a step towards the garden, trying to see what could be there, but suddenly, everything went silent. Roy stopped barking. Just as I was about to take another step, a strong tug on the back of my neck made me fall backward. Before I could scream, someone held me tightly and I felt a wet handkerchief pressed against my face. I struggled with all my strength, but my body began to give out quickly, and I fell asleep. I woke up groggy with a dull ache in my head. It took me a few seconds to realize where I was. The coldness of the chair and the dampness in the air made me shiver. I tried to move, but my hands were tied behind my back and my feet tied together, preventing me from getting up. The room was in semi-darkness, barely illuminated by a bulb hanging from the ceiling, flickering dimly. I recognized the place immediately. It was my basement, but I was not alone. In front of me, there were three masked men. One of them held a camera pointed directly at me, while another sat in a chair silently watching me. The third man, the tallest of them all, held a leather belt in his hands, swinging it slowly like a pendulum. "I'm sure you have many questions, but unfortunately, I won't be able to answer them. I don't like to waste time on this part, so just listen to me and don't say anything. Understand?"
"Yes."
At that moment, I thought about screaming in despair, swinging and trying to escape or insulting these men, but there was no point. I know my basement. No one would listen to me. The best I could do in this situation was to be obedient and not anger these men.
"Clever girl, this is usually much more difficult."
"We have no interest in killing you, but we probably will. You are in a game, a deep web game. You have been chosen to be the protagonist, and it will depend on you whether you survive or not."
"What do I have to do to survive?"
"You have to convince your audience. In a while, my friend will start broadcasting. We will torture you and hurt you a lot. We will pause every few minutes. Those pauses will be used for the audience to vote. We can keep torturing you, we can set you free, or We can kill you. That's up to them.
Should we start?
We are live.
Before I could respond, the man with the belt took a step forward and without warning, lifted it and unloaded it against my back with brutal force. I screamed, pain coursing through my body in a wave of agony. The camera kept rolling, capturing every moment of my suffering. Each blow was harder than the last. The man was hitting me with the buckle of his belt. He was not holding back at all. The pain was so intense that I could barely stay conscious. The man with the camera kept recording every detail. None of them cared about hurting me, but they didn't enjoy it either. They were so disconnected from my torture. Every time the man with the belt stopped, my body trembled with pain and fear. I knew that the audience would not vote for my release. People who watched these kinds of shows did so for a reason. They wanted blood. They wanted to see suffering, and they would not stop until they were satisfied. When the first pause came, they gave me a chance to speak, to plead for my life. They stopped for a minute, and the seated man spoke to me again. You have 30 seconds to convince the audience why you should live.
Please let me go. I am a mother. My son needs me. He can't be left alone. The father has abandoned us. I'm all he has. He will die without me.
Tears blurred my vision, but the men's masks showed no compassion. The man in the seat cupped his face and gave me a disapproving nod. Had I given the wrong answer? After a few seconds, the man with the camera spoke.
The vote is over. 48% torture, 45% death, 7% release.
Before I could figure out what the vote was, the man who was beating me came at me with a blade.
Wait, no!
The man grabbed my hand, put it against the table, and sliced off a finger.
Ah!
At first, I didn't feel anything, but I screamed from the shock of what had happened to me. Within seconds, the pain came, and it was indescribable. I didn't have time to process it, though, because suddenly, the man cut off another finger. I couldn't react to what was happening, and before I knew it, all of the fingers on my left hand were missing. The man grabbed my other hand and was about to start cutting off my fingers. I just wanted to faint from the loss of blood, but no matter what, I had already accepted my fate. But then, something unexpected happened. Roy was scratching at the basement door, crying and barking. The barking could be heard throughout the basement, and the dog was crying desperately to get in.
He woke up fast. Oh God, how could you have not tied him up? Go and kill him now.
Wait.
The man with the camera focused on me again.
The audience wants another vote.
The man stood up from his chair for the first time and approached the man with the camera, who was also with the computer. Once he displaced the cameraman, he began to type something, while the other two remained silent.
I see. Announce the results when they are in.
The results are coming in, and voting is over. 24% torture, 11% death, 65% release.
Impressive. Pet lovers.
The man in the chair stood up, stretching. The one with the camera started typing on the computer, and the torturer approached me with another handkerchief.
Make sure you buy premium food for Roy. He just saved your life.
The man put the handkerchief to my nose. The pungent smell of chloroform washed over me again, and this time, I didn't struggle. I woke up in my bed. For a moment, I thought it had all been a nightmare, but when I tried to move, the pain in my hands brought me back to reality. My fingers were in a jar beside me, and my hand was wrapped in bandages. I struggled to my feet, and the first thing I did was look for Roy. I found him in the kitchen, lying on his bed. When he saw me, he raised his head and came over to me, wagging his tail gently. I knelt beside him, hugging him with all my might, grateful that he was alive and by my side. He had been the reason those monsters hadn't killed me. After a few minutes, I mustered the courage to call the police. When they arrived, I told them everything that had happened, every horrible detail. They searched the house from top to bottom and found nothing. There were no cameras, no trace of the men, not even signs that anyone had been in the basement. It was as if everything had been erased. The authorities merely opened a file and took me to the hospital, but there was not enough evidence to do anything else.
The next morning after leaving the hospital, I sat on the couch with Roy by my side. He had saved my life. There was no doubt about that. But what disturbed me most was why I had been allowed to live. Not because of my son, who would have been orphaned, but because a dog had aroused the empathy of those monsters. The thought made me feel horrible. I had no hope in humanity and a fear of everything that to this day I could not overcome. I would tell you that I went on with my life, but that would be a lie. I am still searching with my son and my pet how to overcome what I lived through. One step at a time. I know that someday I will recover. I know that surfing the deep web is a big deal for everyone else, but for me, it was something I used to do when I was bored. In my day, I hung out there a lot and I knew the do's and don'ts of it. I knew I hadn't been there for a while, but I didn't imagine that it could change too much. And maybe it didn't, but my main mistake was thinking I could go in and underestimate it. We were at my house with my friends. It was almost midnight, and my only computer screen was on. The three of us were very bored until I proposed to go in and explore the deep web. They didn't seem very convinced, but I told them not to worry. I had experience in this. After a while of browsing through gun sales forums, I thought I'd go a bit further. There were no details, and I didn't know how to get there, but I went to a page where I was offered a game that would keep me distracted for a long time. Without much thought or consulting my friends, I clicked on it. I swear that when something started downloading, I panicked. I immediately scanned the file with the antivirus, and to my surprise, there was nothing strange. Until it got too weird. The screen went completely white. I couldn't enter any options, get out of where I was, or use the computer as I wanted. The computer just stopped reacting. My friends started complaining, thinking that the computer had frozen. But suddenly, they realized something worse. The internet was gone. They tried to use their mobile phones, but nothing worked. They didn't even have a signal. We looked at each other confused, trying to understand what had happened. At that moment, we realized that the whole house was disconnected, as if something had suddenly cut the signal. The lights were still on, but there was no internet and no signal on the phones. My friends, always a bit more paranoid than me, decided it was better not to stay in my house. I put the whole thing down to an internet problem, but they blamed it on a deep website. It didn't make sense. What would make them believe that, in a matter of seconds, someone would hack me and control the whole signal in the house? I tried to explain, but they still wanted to go to another friend's house where maybe things would be different. They invited me to go with them, but something inside me told me to stay. Why would I make such a decision? I guess because I was sleepy, I didn't feel like going to one of my friends' houses anymore. After they left, I tried to relax. I turned on the TV, but to my surprise, it was also blank. I changed the channel several times, but there was no picture, no sound, just that damn white that seemed to consume everything. I decided it was better to leave it and checked my phone one more time, but there was still no signal. Everything was dead. The hours passed slowly. I sat on the couch, but suddenly the lights flickered and then went out completely. I was now in total darkness, with only the glow of the white screen illuminating the room. I decided it was best to go to sleep. Maybe everything would be back to normal in the morning. I went upstairs to my room, climbed into bed, and closed my eyes, hoping that everything would sort itself out. Sleep didn't last long. I woke up in the middle of the night, startled by a noise I couldn't identify. It was a subtle but constant sound, as if something was moving slowly through the house. At first, I thought it was my imagination, but the sound grew louder and clearer. I stood still, holding my breath. I didn't want to move. I didn't want to admit that something was wrong. But the noises persisted. They sounded like footsteps. Soft, but they were footsteps.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Finally, I mustered up the courage and got out of bed. The mobile phone was downstairs, but there was no point in trying to use it anyway since it didn't even work. The only solution was to escape. I opened the door to my room carefully, trying not to make any noises. The house was silent, except for those footsteps. I walked slowly down the hallway following the sound. My heart was pounding, and every step I took felt like I was getting closer to a kidnapper. Maybe it was a normal thief. But what if it was more than a simple robbery? That's when I decided it wasn't worth it to find out what was going on. I ran back to my room, opened the window, and slipped out. I didn't know where to go. I just knew I had to get out of that house. I got into my car and started the engine. The car accelerated. And that's when I knew I had to leave. I drove through the deserted streets, trying to get as far away from my house as possible. The streetlights flickered from time to time, but I didn't pay any attention. All I cared about was getting out of there, putting as much distance as possible between me and those noises. Finally, my phone signal came back. I immediately called the police, trying to explain what had happened. They told me they would send a patrol car to check the house, but they didn't seem to take my call very seriously. As I spoke, my phone screen went blank again. The same disturbing white that I had seen on my computer. I tried to ignore it and concentrate on the road, but then the car's engine started to misfire. The vehicle jerked violently and then came to a stop. I looked around, realizing that I was in the middle of a neighborhood I knew. This was not a good neighborhood to be stranded in. This place was quite dangerous. I tried to start the engine again, but there was no response. I tapped the steering wheel in frustration, and that's when I saw something in the rearview mirror. A dark figure, motionless, watching me from the shadows. At first, I thought it was my imagination, but then I saw another figure, and then another. There were several people all dressed in dark clothes and Taylor Swift masks. They were moving slowly towards the car. When they reached the car, they started tapping on the window gently as if inviting me to get out of the car in a friendly way. I tried to remain calm, but my breathing was quickening with each passing second. I tried to think calmly and work out whatever was going on, but I couldn't find a way out. The masked men didn't seem to hurry. They just stood there touching my window. I couldn't move. I was paralyzed with fear. Out of nowhere, they stopped banging and one of them came up with a metal spike and smashed the glass with one blow. I knew I had to do something if I wanted to survive. One of the men reached through the broken glass, trying to reach the door handle. Without thinking, I lunged at him, grabbing the metal tips of his hand and driving it into his eye with all my might. The man screamed and backed away. I seized the moment to open the opposite door and run out. I didn't know where to go. I just ran. But no matter how fast I ran, they were always there following me. They were in every street. They came out of nowhere as if they had been waiting for me. It was getting light, and I decided to stop to rest in an alley. Everyone seemed further away, but suddenly I felt someone grab me from behind and throw me to the ground. I tried to get up, but a hand closed around my neck, pressing hard. I looked up and saw one of the masked men and other men wearing Taylor Swift masks surrounding me. As one continued to choke me, another approached me with a metal tip and jabbed it into my hand. Another approached me and started to stick something in the stone. Was this some sick satanic ritual or something? Either way, I knew I was done for. I closed my eyes, expecting the worst. But just when I thought it was all over, I heard a strange sound. It was a high-pitched buzzing sound coming from my pocket. I opened my eyes and saw that all the masked men had stopped looking down at my mobile phone. The white screen that had been my nightmare had suddenly turned green. In an instant, the men stepped back, dropping their weapons and slowly parting. They didn't say a word. They just walked away as if nothing had happened. I couldn't believe it. I lay there on the ground, breathing hard, staring at my mobile phone screen that was now glowing green. When I finally gathered the strength to move, I went back to the car. To my surprise, the engine started smoothly as if nothing had happened. I drove straight home, shaking all the way, ready to go to the hospital to have my hand and leg injuries checked. I couldn't understand what had happened. I just knew I wanted to get out of there as quickly as possible. When I got home, I sat down in front of the computer. When I turned it on, my mail was open, with a message in the inbox. The sender was unknown, but the subject line read, "Congratulations, you've won." I opened the mail, and the preview showed me a picture. It was a picture of me, taken from the perfect angle to capture my terrified expression as I ran through the streets while being chased. It wasn't the only picture. There were pictures of other people, each with an expression of horror on their faces, some crying, some screaming. Below the pictures of the winners, there was a section entitled Losers. These pictures were much worse. They showed mutilated bodies, mangled faces, and people whose bodies were unrecognizable. The last message in the post said, "You survived 8 hours since you entered the game. Do you want to try to survive 10? Reply to this email, and we'll start over." As soon as I read that, I deleted the email and turned off the computer. I had already played enough for a lifetime.
As a journalist, it's my job to bring the truth to the forefront. Making people aware of the truth is what I get paid for. I'm a freelance journalist who makes money by writing on my online blog and providing people with information that mainstream media is too reluctant to offer. Over the last 2 decades, the internet has become the most prominent part of our culture. But with the expansion of the internet, there are its dark traits as well. As a journalist for the last 2 months, I'm set on exploring the dark web and what all lies there. But with every passing day and every piece of new information I discover, I've started to doubt my quest altogether. For the past months, I've explored the part of the dark web that deals with drugs, weapons, smuggling of illegal things, human trafficking, and whatnot. But the part of the dark web that I have to explore even more is the paranormal section. In our day-to-day life, many people don't believe in these things. They brush it off and think things like they only exist in movies. But if you dive into the deepest parts of the dark web, you'll discover many unthinkable things. But a few nights ago, I made a very critical breakthrough. I was invited into an Illuminati forum. These forums are so exclusive that you can't enter without an invitation. Luckily, the time I had spent searching the dark web had taught me how to get invited into such extremely private forums. In these forums, some people practice black magic and worship Lucifer, or Satan as they call him. These people, like any other religion, have their own festivals and rituals. There are all sorts of people in these forums. The ultra-rich, who have got their fortune by worshiping the devil, as well as the poor and middle class, who wish to earn a fortune. I entered the forum as a person who wished to get initiated into the dark world and make my life prosperous. But what I discovered was the stuff straight out of a person's nightmares. Most of the rituals revolved around human sacrifice. I wanted to do thorough research on this, so I decided to go with it anyways. I knew I might get into trouble, but I wanted to shed light on all the dark practices that are performed in these circles. I was soon contacted by the admin of the forum and asked why I wanted to join the forum, what I wanted in my life. Of course, I wasn't about to tell him that I wanted to expose them, so I told him I wanted to be a great journalist. He seemed to buy my lie and told me that there will be a ritual that will be performed by a witch on my behalf, which would get me my desired outcomes. The only catch was, I had to pay for the ritual beforehand. The amount was 25 grand. I didn't have that kind of money, but I was determined to find out what the ritual was, and I also wished to expose the sham. I asked my sister for some money, and after knowing the reason why, she gave it to me willingly. I transferred the money to the random account the admin had asked me to. Later that evening, I got a message instructing me to join a new forum called The Dark Place to watch the ritual being performed live on my behalf. I was eager to see what I would get in return for 25 grand. So exactly at 1 a.m., I logged into the forum. I was expecting it to be some kind of satanic ritual with pentagons and some animal blood and whatnot. But when the streaming began, I was seeing a basement that was converted into a makeshift operation theater. For instance, I thought I had joined the wrong feed, but soon a woman wearing a black mask appeared on the screen. She was in a black dress, and her long dark dreadlocks were tied in a bun above her head. Her face was only half visible, as the mask covered most of it, and her lips were painted red as if she had drunk blood before appearing on screen.
"So, you want to be the best journalist in the world, huh?"
She spoke into the camera to me. That's when I realized my camera was automatically turned on, and she could see me, too. "Yes," was all I could say.
"Good, good. This ritual, or should I say, sacrifice, will give you all you want. Now, keep watching, and do not try to disconnect or stop it."
I nodded my head as my eyes were glued to the computer screen. Soon, two hooded men carried a young girl and placed her on the operation bed. She was unconscious, looked like she was sedated. I had no idea what they were doing. I was mostly certain that they would kill her. But soon the masked woman appeared on the screen again and told me what she was about to do.
"This little miss here is pregnant. She wanted an abortion and contacted the hospital. But we have ties in the hospital and offered her 10 grand to let us do the abortion and keep her fetus. Poor girl would not be able to support the baby anyways, so she agreed."
The woman walked back beside the young girl and started chanting a spell. I knew this was wrong, but I was recording the whole thing on my computer. These people were unaware of it. This would be my proof to expose these monsters. Soon, two doctors stepped in. Although they were dressed in scrubs, they were wearing pentagon necklaces. They began the process, and the masked lady started swaying and dancing around the bed on which the operation was going on. She was still chanting the spell, but it looked like she was possessed. I couldn't take my eyes off the screen. Soon, the doctors completed the process and handed a lump of blood and flesh to the woman. She took it in her bare hands and put it in a pot. Then she angled the pot so that I could see what was going on clearly. She added some leaves to the pot and some sort of oil, and then lit the contents in the pot on fire. Although I was watching the whole thing through the screen, I could smell the burned flesh.
"You smell it, boy?"
the masked woman asked me. I just nodded my head once again.
"The ritual is done."
The woman announced, and my screen turned black. I had no clue what had just happened, and I knew for sure this was all fake. I didn't pay much attention and went to bed. The next day, my phone was buzzing with incoming calls as I woke up. It was a private number. As soon as I picked up the call, I got to know that it was from a recruiter who recruits journalists for The Times, one of the most prestigious news networks in our country. I wanted to get a secure job with them forever, but I was always rejected. But somehow, The Times was offering me a job on their own. I soon realized that it wasn't a coincidence. The black magic ritual had worked, and this was just the first step. I would truly become a successful journalist if I took up the job. So,
how to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step 1, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step 2, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step 3, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step 4, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
What should I do now? Continue to expose the Illuminati cults on the dark web? or forget all about it and join my new job and be successful.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. Want to bring a little Hollywood excitement to your day? Take a few spins with Chumba Casino's brand new game, Ryan Seacrest's 10K Ways. It's free and features 10,000 ways to play, giving you nonstop action, including thrilling bonus respins and cascading reels. Every spin brings something new, so step into the spotlight, enjoy the excitement, and play today at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.